Hey Zookeepers, it's another Super Sentai Brothers side project. We had on returning champion and very special guest Jonathan Shannon. We love that boy. And we're talking the usual episodes about 28 through 30. It's just a good one. I don't need to get into too many details. It's all crazy. As always, if you like the podcast, tell a friend. Give us a rate or a review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. It all helps. And you can always email us at podzookypodcast@gmail.com. That's P-O-D-Z-O-O-K-Y podcast@gmail.com. Anyways, let's just get to it. Bye.
Whoa, keep my business off the ground. Switch my style like I switch hands. Going to war in foreign land. Fuck out the way, bitch, back it up. Shit better get played in the palace.
So. The poor bastard only has a headbutt as an attack.
That's new too. Yeah. He used to have nothing.
Yeah, he just eats a lot of curry and gets so upset that he breaks people's backs. He's kind of like the bane of Super Sentai, I guess. I feel like we should start recording. It's a balmy Thursday night. Sadly, Nathan will not be joining us because we've had another health emergency. I think the funny thing about this podcast is that it's slowly killing both of our co-hosts. But I'm trying my best not to do that, but, you know, what can you do?
We're powering through, though, you know.
So it'll just be for your Kansas City Kaijin bad boys tonight, myself, Brandon Kirkman.
I'm all Ranger fanboy extraordinaire, Zach Boyce.
Yeah, we're back with another, I have to always pull this up when I say it. Podzuki Super Sentai Brothers side project. We're doing episodes 28, 29, and 30, and we're having on special returning champion and guest, Jonathan Shannon.
Hello!
So Nathan let us know about the health issue before he came over. I'm going to keep my eye on my phone a little bit, because he might send me a text I need to read, and I'm going to guess it's going to be Master and Commander related.
We're on Nathan Watch.
Yeah, we're on Nathan Watch. I think I apologize, because I think one of my cats came and take a huge dump before we started this, so hopefully the litter's not smelling too bad right now.
Nah, it's fine. I wasn't warned that people were dying on this show, though. I feel like that could have been a nice little setup.
Oh, yeah, I know. Well, I think it was like I was rushing to get ready and get everything cleaned up, and then I was getting ready to jump in the shower, and then I saw from like Nathan's like, yeah, I won't be able to make it out tonight. No. I'm like, damn. It's just like, we'll get all of us together for the next one. Yeah. I'm excited for it. Before we like start getting into talking about each episode and the little notes I got, what's your exposure to like Super Sentai and Power Rangers?
Oh wait, I'd seen Power Rangers and I'd seen a smattering of Kamen Rider, and that's about it.
Yeah,
one of my favorite scenes in TV ever is him like coming out of a Nazi casket, and they're like, "Kamen Rider!"
Yeah, just screaming. I mean, that's how you get them. It's just like if you're gonna be fighting evil scientists that were formerly of the Nazi party, you gotta play their tricks against them, I feel like, which is getting in coffins, attacking Hitler, you know, whatever you can do. Did you grow up with Power Rangers at all?
Yes.
Okay. We've talked about with a lot of the guests on the show, famously it was like 1994 when they reskinned the series the year before called Zoo Rangers, and it's funny because it's like vastly different from the original source material, where they're like ancient fantasy cavemen brought to modern day Japan to fight, you know, Rita Repulsa, but in that one she's called Bandora. And of course, they're both crazy in their own way, which I think is weird, because I think how they reskinned it for the American show, it's also kind of insane in its own delightful way that they've continued on for the many years it's become. But this was Himitsu Sentai Go Ranger. Was 1975. It's from the same creator, Shitoshi Ishimuro, from Kamen Rider. He was on a hot streak, and then like 1975, they're like, "What if we made a Kamen Rider, but we all did cocaine when we wrote the scripts?" Which I don't want to be that guy who's making the joke of like, "Oh, they had to be on drugs," but like, had to be going on.
This fucking was show, though.
Like, I don't want to be hacky, but like, somebody had to have a mental condition or was on a different substance or like on just a different plane of existence and thinking. I feel like
they're playing 4D chess when they were developing this.
Yeah, before it was even a saying, they were already playing in the different dimension. Their knights were overtaking bishops in ways we could never imagine. we'll just get into it. Did you get the chance to watch any episodes before this, or just the 28, 29, and episode 30?
I just watched the three, and boy howdy, what a ride. Yeah. When they win against enemies, they kill the fuck out of them.
Yeah.
There's been an evolution over the episodes of the 30 episodes we've watched. It started where The soccer ball's always been what kills them.
Yes.
Which is great. And it used to be just they hit them and they explode. Now there's like a whole scene where it shows them like going to hell.
Like spinning in the fire.
Yeah.
And then there's some ones. Remember the one, was it Mirror Mask? And then there was a piece of the mirror with his eye in it. Oh, yeah. And like a tears come. You're like, my God.
Right before it like shattered. Yeah. It's wild. I know we're not going to jump ahead because we're going to do an order, but I think we're going to be spending a lot of time talking about Mind Mask and everything going on with that in episode 30.
Door Mask and Mind Mask both were absolutely fucking nuts. Yeah,
Door Mask was pretty legit too, but...
There's a lot going on with Door Mask too for multiple different reasons. I think we'll start with episode 28, which was titled Big Red Eruption. Sounds like a boner. Infiltrate the Underground Base. The villain of this episode is Iron Comb Mask. He's straight up a bitch. I feel like there's another way to put it. So each of the bad guys are always like Mask. They're like, this is basically like Steel Mask. This is Razor Mask. The one henchman who's kind of like their Goldar, if you will, that's like with there to kind of guide them is Temujin Steel Mask.
And it used to be Halo Sun Mask, right?
And then, like, I was looking ahead, and, like, Temujin Steel Mask, he's in it for a while. Like, I think he's in for the next 20 episodes.
Okay.
Which, it makes sense. Once again, it's got all the DNA of what becomes Power Rangers. Once again, kind of like a Goldar or a rival to, like, the Red Ranger.
Mm-hmm.
So he's going to take us through, like, the second act of this series.
I feel like it makes sense, because he's, like, I feel like more level-headed than, like, the Fuhrer himself whenever they're having a conversation. I like that anytime there's like talking about a plan, the villain of the episode, whatever the new mask is, like, I'm gonna kill everyone that ever exists, and the Fuhrer's like, that's great.
Yeah, he's like, that's brilliant,
that.
Man.
And then Temujin and Iron Mask is like, well, let's figure this out and plan it out a little bit first.
I'm sure you all have covered this like a million times, but the main villain is so Nazi KKK coded.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like somehow both of those things.
Coded is a generous way to like.
I love about like with Ishinomaru's work is that he came up in Japan and was really popular in the 60s and 70s. And because of the horrors of, like, war before that and everything he saw, he was very against fascism. Where, like, it's not, like, a tiptoeing nowadays where people, like, make analogies. We've talked about how, like, the MCU has it, like, well, we gotta show up both sides are bad. I like this. I hate Nazis. The Nazis are the bad guys. Fuck them. You kill the Nazis.
Yeah.
They're fascists. I hate them. I like that it's very clear. And, you know, it's like, it is originally a children's show. So it's like, why not? We don't need to have this whole, like, Surf Dracula situation where we didn't know what happened to Surf Dracula to make him Surf Dracula.
Some things are black and white.
Yeah.
And Fuhrer's definitely a big
it's
old
white.
Not to sound like a KKK colored person.
Yes. Some things are white and whiter. You know, like
there's a difference between a wizard and a grand wizard. Definitely a grand wizard. Once again, I do love like all the episodes where the villain comes along, they talk to the Fuhrer. And he's just like, well, as long as you're, like, wanting to kill everyone, that's all I really kind of want to happen. I like that they had a lot of fun perspective shots in this episode. They were kind of having some fun.
Yeah, they were doing some kind of camera tricks, right? I feel like it was a little more, they were getting a little more artsy with the cinematography.
They pulled a Team America, fuck yeah, at the beginning of it, where it was like a miniature town being killed or exploded by their magma machine. But it looked like it was an actual, like, city being destroyed, and they have Temujin Steel Mask show up, you know, towering above him, like, oh, they're doing a little props.
I'm like, this is on par with the, you know, kind of dumpy special effects you would expect from a show of this time. Yeah. And then, it zoomed out, and I'm like, oh no, they're acknowledging that this is just a crummy model. Yeah. I'm like, good for them.
This is what it would look like when we destroy things. Yeah. Like, okay, I don't know how you need to prove it. Like, you've been probably evil for a while at this point. It's episode 28.
And I like that they're kind of establishing, I think the bad guys, they're kind of having a little fun. I feel like They're a little loose with their budget now. They're having fun. They're taking time to like build models. They're letting coworkers experiment with their creative strengths, so it's not just them doing spreadsheets all the time, which is nice. We continue the episode. Temujin Iron Mask is at it again. It instantly starts off with they've kidnapped this Dr. Yoshino. And I like that it's a very weak argument. It's like, I got hired because you guys said I could do whatever I want. And they're like, well, we're going to steal your daughter now. He's like, well, don't do that.
He's like, come on.
I feel like there's an ongoing theme of, like, in these episodes, there'll be, like, a doctor or somebody that's, like, a part of the government that they conscript in doing their work or they kidnap. And there's always, like, some excuse. And I like this one's, like, a very flimsy. He's like, they just said I could play with the beakers and I didn't expect this to go so bad.
Yeah.
A few things going on in this episode that I think is really funny is they have the Stranger Danger right away.
Yes.
Yo, yeah.
He pushes the kid and it makes a punch sound. Killed me. I loved it.
And then, like, it's on, like, the actor, I think, was too good, where it felt kind of upsetting to watch, like, this.
Yeah, I was like, oh, no. Yeah.
I was like, he's going to steal this child. Yeah.
Just, he shows up, and then he says, no, you're coming with me, and he's, like, punching Taro away, who's the other... Okay, so this is another thing we have to explain to our guests. Taro's, like, a kid that just hangs out with all of the Rangers. And what he does is he shows up at their base, and he tells them riddles. That's all we can figure out.
He's like the... You remember in Brady Bunch, was it the little brother? There's, like, a younger cousin or something that just kind of appears, and then they just make him a part of the show. I feel like that's what Taro is.
Oh, absolutely.
Where he's just a cute kid, and they're like, I guess he's just here now.
Yeah, so. We won't question. He gets kidnapped all the time.
Every day, yeah.
This time it was his friend who got kidnapped, so, I mean, almost got kidnapped.
Which makes sense why he was smart about Stranger Danger.
Yeah, because she was, like, cool.
He's watching, he's like, I've seen this happen to me many times before. He should have been like, this ain't my first rodeo, man. Like,
kidnap me once, shame on you, you know?
It just unfolds very quickly where Kaijo shows up and then basically is trying to figure out who did it. I like it, the bush dabs the guy.
Oh my god. And then of course Momo Ranger jumps out of nowhere and saves the day once again.
Only one aware of, like, you know what, Taro's in the area, somebody's gonna try to kidnap him or something. Yeah.
So Peggy's just like laying in the cut waiting for some effery to
Love that her name is Peggy. It's the best name for us.
So great. And, like, all the other characters are, like, traditional Japanese names at the time. Kaijo, and then you have Shinmei, and then Kenji are the other ones. Kenji's the Green Ranger, Shinmei's the blue one, and then it's just Peggy, just right
up.
Peggy.
And Daida. Yeah.
Oh, Daida's... I feel like we don't even need to bring up Daida, because we spend so much time on the podcast talking about Daida, the Yellow Ranger. Because everything about him is just so damn charming and so silly. I mean... in a complimentary way, he's the Jar Jar Binks of the team, for sure.
He's like the people's ranger. Like a ranger of the people.
Yeah. He loves eating curry. He's gotten poisoned, I think, in two episodes from eating curry he finds on the ground. He gets so upset that he kills people. All things we love.
He's not a ranger person, he's a person of ranger.
Yes, right? Yes, exactly.
That's a good way of putting it.
A POR, if you will. Is this the only episode with a curry count, too?
I think it's the only episode of Curry Count of we've been keeping it, how much he eats, because it goes up a lot of them. I think there's one episode where he had up to almost like six, I want to say.
This one he had six.
Is it six?
Yeah, because he's like, oh, another one, please. And they're like, that's your sixth one.
Okay.
But then he says, these kid sizes aren't big enough for me. So, we'll say maybe a kid size is like 60%.
So we'll say... Four and a half, which is still a lot.
And this is the only episode he eats curry in. So he got them all, like, in one episode.
Yeah. Maybe they were shooting these three back-to-back, and, like, he's one of those actors that's, like, so method that he doesn't do a spit take. So, like, I can't do any curry for the next two episodes.
Your innards are dust from all of the curry.
I feel like a 1975 tokusatsu show like Super Sentai would be the funniest thing for a person to be, like, a method actor on. Like, just Kaijo's actor, who's, like, the Red Ranger, just sitting in there and be like, I am the Red Ranger. I want to dress as the Red Ranger. All my notes are just, like, stabbing Bush. Gotta take the handcuffs off before you let him loose. Which I think... That part was so funny to me, of, like, they're looking for... a lead to get to their underground base after finding out that her dad...
Oh my god, yes.
It briefly turns into like a 70s detective show. Yeah. I was like, this is not what I thought I signed up for.
He disguised himself as like one of the characters on Fat Albert, which was weird. I'm like, do they even know what he really looks like?
It's debatable because it is 1975.
Yeah.
It's popular, but they're like, what are they doing? And this is the first... time in a while, because we have an issue with the show. I'd say it's not a big one, but the Red Ranger, their leader Kaijo, is boring. This is the first episode, like, he's having fun.
These three episodes, he kind of goes off a little bit.
He got loose.
They're really trying to like pad his like character, because he's done nothing to this point. Just to let you know, wouldn't guess it from watching these three episodes.
He's out there blooming, showing himself off, and I'm having fun. Like, I feel like this might be. We're 30 episodes into the show at the end of these three. You know, maybe this is the first time they got, like, the reviews back from a lot of people, and they're like, you gotta do something about this Red Ranger guy. There's no personality. And they're like, okay, we're going all the way in on this one now. So.
Or he's a diva, and he's like, I'm the leader. I deserve more things, you know? And they give them to him in these three episodes. It's
Make
a
it
lot.
Fun.
Yeah, and that outfit, and just the way that, I don't know if it's like, if he's supposed to be getting in character as this, like, ruffian that they have and kidnapped, because he's, like, just so loose and just, like, his whole body posture has changed. He's just like, hey, man, how's it going?
Yeah. I was like, what was his outfit design? Like, opium addict?
Yeah.
So bad.
Hip-hop genie. I don't know, like, it's a weird, I don't know.
A person who's recently escaped from a hippie commune and then instantly became a trucker in 1970s America.
He did have, like, you know what's really weird, too? This episode's a little, like, black-coded, if you guys, like, alright, there's that. He did dress like, it's like a 70s black guy outfit. Like, the hat, like, the bell-bottoms, he and really loud colors. And then the bad guy is Iron Comb Mask, which is, if you guys don't know, I think it's a hot comb.
Right.
Which is what black people would use to, like, perm their hair. So, like, and his weapon, which is a giant hot comb,
right,
shoots fire.
Yeah, it's literally a hot comb.
Yeah.
It's interesting choices now I'm thinking about it. And there's no denying that, like, the makeup department, they darkened his face a bit in the character.
Yeah. I'm like, okay, you guys. Maybe they're trying to appeal to, you know, a Western audience.
Yeah. And I want to say, like, it came off as, like, a suntanner. He's, like, a worker, which I get, but I was also... Like,
okay.
Yeah. It wasn't blackface, you know what I mean?
Because I don't want to set it up to, like, listen, like, I'm watching, like, I'm just, like, waiting for blackface, like, yeah. Ooh, I gotta write down and talk about this. But, like, I could not help but notice, like, they did a whole different character overall for him. And it's an interesting choice, but once again, he's having so much fun. He's just...
He really is. He really went for it. And,
I think it's the first time I've seen, like, that actor, like, smile. I feel like it's not even, like, a note, like, guys, like, I feel like this is something I'm saying to be silly. I don't think I've really seen that character smile that much before this.
And also, this is one of the first episodes where, I mean, Iron Comet, like, where the enemy, his power kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
It, like, relates to his mask namesake. Except for he had a tracker on it.
Yeah.
He found his, I'm like, what, he just.
It was a real Batman 1966 logic of, like, I just have the device I need exactly right now.
Yeah, he's like, I can shoot fire, and also I can check for bugs.
And, like, it was just a huge box that he just left, like, he could have just saw it, like, he didn't need to track
that's
it.
That's what I want to talk about, like, lazy spy work, to be honest. And the funniest thing is, like, it dropped by, it looked like a cooler or something, or, like, a little box. He could have just took 1 second to, like, push it behind the box, even. But it's, like, out in the open, on the stairwell, where they go down for their labor every day. So,
That's cool how they kidnapped all of those undocumented workers, though. That's pretty sick.
Americans are just, like, watching, like, we got some good ideas for, like, how we're going to do agriculture for the 80s and 90s in America. There's a lot of interesting things going on, but it continues where he gets, this is the thing I gotta talk about, I feel like is, they have so many episodes where the villain figures out what's going on, so he has the tracker, he figures out there's a bug there, and he's like, oh, I know Kaijo did this, but it doesn't seem like it ever helps the villains, because it's like, they still just show up and then kick the shit out of them.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, he gets jailed for a little bit, but then it's the classic, like, okay, we're gonna bust him out, he gets loose, they kill all the henchmen, there is just, like, a whole, like, lead up to them figuring out where the base is to stop this whole magma machine. And then it's just, like, a, I feel like just they get to the whole fight, finally, then, where it's, like, I think they're filling time for the episodes, but at the same time, it is kind of fun to watch.
There was a drag-out, knockout brawl, like,
in
that one.
Yeah, fight in that one.
Yeah.
They fight pre-morph and post-morph, like, a lot.
Yeah.
It was, I liked it a lot. I feel like they're kind of, like, going for it more.
They're getting more experimental for a show that started off insane, which is a fun thing to say. Like, it's so funny to imagine, like, watching a John Waters film from when he started after Pink Flamingos. He's like, I just haven't experimented enough yet. Like, it's what it kind of feels like. They get out, they have that whole brawl where eventually they get out of the whole compound and they morph. They have the showdown with Iron Comb Mask. It's the usual lead up to as you were talking about how they eventually get to where they get in line to do basically like their whole death ball where they get the soccer ball to cut back and forth. It is very funny. It's evolved. It originally was just a soccer ball. Now it's a soccer ball with spikes. And now it sends them to hell when it hits them.
Well, and was this the first indoor ball?
I think this was the first indoor
bowl. Yeah, it was indoors, which it was dangerous.
It was sick, too, because, yeah. like, normally, like, literally every episode before this, John, they would... They're outside in a field that they film every episode in.
Yeah.
Yes. And they just... It's the pretty, like, stock routine of, you know, one of them launches it, and they all take their turns hitting it, and then the Red Ranger jumps up and, like, does the finishing blow. For the, like, 95% of the... finishers were like that. This is the first, they're inside, they're bouncing it off the walls, you know, they're doing like pump fakes and stuff. It was top notch.
Yeah, it was.
They were styling on this.
They
guy.
Were styling. It looked like an and one, like, basketball video. It was sick. Like,
man, I forgot about and one. I haven't thought about it in a while. But I do like the sequel movie to and one, which was Andor, which I thought
Andor.
Was yeah. Shout out to Andor. It is a great series. So before we go to the next one, I feel like, how do you feel about after seeing your first episode of...
My mind was friggin' blown, because I was like, this went all over the place, and then it ends with a riddle. I was like, how fun is this for kids?
Yeah.
They know what exactly you want, punches and explosions, and it gives you exactly that.
Our favorite thing is, they do a very direct translation for this, for where we're getting it from archive.org, which you can watch it all on. Which is pretty cool. Hopefully we don't have that destroyed the next year, too. But when they do the riddles, I think the translator is just doing exactly what they're saying in Japanese, so that the honorifics or how it works in their language doesn't translate. So it's funny of, like, I feel like we're slowly learning Japanese by doing these, of, like, how these words work together. But I like that it just doesn't make any sense, but you know that it's supposed to in the spoken language it's coming from. Yeah, there's a few of those in each of the episodes, especially, I think, for the next one we're going to get into for... Episode 29, which I have written down. The titles are always my favorite part, which is, this is Red Pursuit, The Mysterious Seal Train. I thought I was going to get a bunch of, like, seals like the animal.
Yeah, that one was a missed opportunity when I saw that, too.
Yeah. Bad guy, this one. Great villain, Dormask.
Yeah, cool. This is... He's a top 10.
One of my favorite villains in Sailor Moon is a character named Doorknobder.
Yeah, Doorknobder.
It's just a door, basically. And this delivers exactly the same fun that did, so...
His powers also kind of make sense for what he is again, which is... The reason why I mentioned that is a lot of the previous episodes, there's so many villains of the week that don't make any sense, and it's so fun when you figure out what their powers are. Like, the one we talk about all the time is there's a Werewolf Army episode, which is what it sounds like. They're making a werewolf army. And the villain of that is Moon Mask. And his powers are basically nothing related with that in any way or form. It's just, I forgot, it was like he just has like a vault thing he could do. I'm trying to remember what else. Something with fire.
Yeah, a lot of them have fire.
Yeah.
When they're like, yeah, give them fire.
Yeah, I mean, it looks cool.
Yeah. It's just fun special effects. But, I mean, we also realized that maybe the Moon Mask is supposed to be in relation to werewolves.
Yeah.
But he didn't really, like, have control over the werewolves.
Did he have, like, a scepter or something? And, like,
yeah, he had a scepter. That was it. Yeah. And it made him, like, indestructible, I want to say, too, or something.
Yeah, or, like, impermeable. Like, you could pass. It was something ridiculous.
Well, that sounds unfair.
Go back and listen to that episode, I see.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, this episode, we get Dormask. He feels like he's a One Piece villain, too, as we were talking about One Piece earlier, of like, just funny abilities. He makes locks that are unlockable and can kind of, like, go through doors and places.
And he made that big box.
Yeah, he did tricks, I think he said. He's very proud of being
It's a lot of weird, yeah, like, magician energy.
Yeah, big magician. And we're going to be talking about one scene at the end of this episode for a while, I think. But we'll wait till we get there, and I think you already know what it is. Yeah, boy, we got a supercomputer named Super X. There is nothing I love more than how people in the 70s and 60s thought computers worked. And this is a great episode that reinforces why I love that trope so much.
And they're like, this is 3,000 times more powerful.
And I was like, how many megabytes must that be?
They're for like 7 kilobytes, you know? You're like, okay.
Yeah, we've just discovered the experimental megabyte, which one day we might be able to get the computing process up to. Yeah, it's just it's a giant talking weird blue pillar. He's kind of got a robot voice, but like also like a kid mascot voice somewhere between there.
It looks like the robot a little bit from Lost in Space.
It does. Yeah. It looks exactly
like that's what I was. That's immediately what I thought.
Yeah. They instantly just like kill all the scientists in the room. Dormask shows up.
This is actually a cool reveal for me because what it does is the bad guys leak like poisonous gas into the room to kill all the scientists. And the scientists are trying to escape, and the door's locked. And it shows a lock on the outside, and they don't tell you who the bad guy is. And I was like, these dumbass scientists locked themselves in. Like, what was the plan morons. Here?
Look at the sheer hubris of, we'll just put a lock on. That's how good we are at sciencing. But no, yeah, he did that. He kills them. That's, they fucking got right away. They grab the supercomputer, they put it on a train. I like that they also, the plot of this episode is that they have a mysterious steel train. And I love that all of the crew, their little putty guys, their henchmen are called soldiers.
Soldiers.
I love that I have a scene where they're talking about, like, oh, here comes the mysterious train. I'm like, they wouldn't call it the mysterious train. They know how the train works.
It's just the train to them.
Yeah. Which I think I want to start doing that at my job. Like, here comes the mysterious mailman again.
Also, they're all acting like they're shiftily, like, switching the tracks and stuff, but they're all on the train. They've already come and near the train. Like, who are they hiding the information from?
Yeah. This is definitely my favorite plot for how they're going to destroy the world for the Fuhrer when they're talking to him. They're like, we're going to steal the supercomputer. And there's apparently just loose missiles circling around our planet, which I think is one of my favorite. I think they said something like wild of like over like 40,000, no, 10,000 missiles that are in orbit around Earth that have been fired off by various world powers. And I just love that idea of like we have like a Saturn's ring on Earth, but it's just all missiles.
I've been on YouTube enough. I know it's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, if the world wasn't flat, then I might believe this, but you know.
Maybe the world, it is flat, but on the bottom side is where all those are where you can't see it.
Or that's where all the missiles are.
You son of a bitch.
We cracked it.
Yeah, I do want to take a sidestep here and just talk about flat earthers for a little bit. What do they think like the planet looks like? That's what I've always been trying to wrap my head around. I know a lot of people it's an ironic thing, but for the actual like true flat earthers out there that truly believe it, like I want to meet them and I want them to draw me what they think the planet looks like from space.
It always feels like when a flat earther, when you're like, so if it's flat, like, do you fall off when you get to the end? And whenever I hear a flat earther, excuse me, try to describe it, it sounds like somebody trying to describe crypto.
Oh, yeah.
Where they're like, well, see, there's like a blockchain, and then it's real, but it isn't, you know?
When you go to traverse to the other side, the theorem will carry you over. And you never even realize. Just, yeah, it works perfectly, I feel like.
And you're like, okay. You just said a bunch of words and didn't really...
Yeah, but shout out to the executive producer of our podcast, Elon Musk. He funds this operation.
I knew it.
We love Musk. He's one of our favorites. He's a great guy. He's definitely not stupid and one of the biggest pieces of shits on Earth. God, I hate that guy. I can't keep this bit going. I'm still upset about Twitter, and which is now called a... I used to be a place I enjoyed, and it felt so easy for me to delete it after everything went down.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's not even X. It's still Twitter on the website.
Yeah. Like, and every, like article I read, they're, like, on X, and every, in parentheses, it's, like,
formerly Twitter. Yeah.
You know, Twitter.
In case. I like when they go for it, and they don't even put formerly Twitter. They just put in parentheses Twitter. Like, yeah. Oh, man. What a bizarre future we live in. I'm glad that Super Sentai predicted it perfectly these episodes. That brings us back to the supercomputer right away. So they steal the supercomputer so that they can harness the loose missiles in the atmosphere to rain down on Japan and the world. And once again, the Fuhrer's like not even thinking about if this plan's viable. He's like, that sounds great.
He's like, that's tight as hell, dude.
Once again, it's like they're playing in four-dimensional chess.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that's... You know what? We're going to be one step ahead of them. They won't even see this comment.
He's like, that's the sickest shit I've ever heard, dude.
I think he'd have been like, why didn't I think of this before?
He's a very supportive, like, CEO. You know what? He's like, I fucking love your ideas, dude. Like, you keep doing stuff like this, we're going to move you up.
Like, he might be the first CEO where, like, if the soldiers unionized, they'd come to him and he'd be like, you know what? You're right.
Yeah.
I support this union. I'll sign the documents. We should be working for the people. You're who give me the ideas.
The perfect pure people, by the way, not
Oh, that's right. Forgot he was evil. That's true.
Only a very specific group of people.
It makes sense. There's a constant room for growth. They murder the hell out of every single bad guy.
The turnover's insane.
Yeah. So in a way, I guess you could support the union knowing that ain't going to mean shit.
Yeah.
Like, it's just going to be a new dude there every time. Oh, man. He's actually got it figured out pretty well. This is what I've been thinking about. If is he a white supremacist in Japan? Is he Japanese or is he like a white guy? Like, what's the reveal going to be?
I think I'll love it if he's Japanese.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's going to be that he's just like for the future of like cybernetic people, because all the mass people are supposed to be like cybernetic.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm still trying to figure out why does he want to kill the world, and like why is he also like a Nazi at the same time.
What if the last episode, it's Elon Musk?
Hello.
You're like, oh, man.
Hello, everybody. Just, God, South African accents. Okay, I don't need to go down this route. I feel like I'm treading a lot of dangerous waters
right now. Oh, you're becoming a candidate for the...
yeah, the Republican Party.
The Black Cross.
Oh, man, this is also coming a few days after the whole Iowa...
caucus.
And I mean, who can be surprised that the Republican Party still wants Trump? Like, so many stupid news articles and things were like, we can't believe this. They're all voting for Trump. It's like, yeah, why would that have changed? It's like if you found out somebody's like, you know that bloodthirsty monster? I want him in power. When he leaves power, they're going to be like, nah, you know what? I was wrong. Let's not put him back. Once he's like viable, they're like, get him in.
Oh, yeah. And of course he wins a state where the way they do their primary thing is absolutely insane.
Yeah.
So don't they gather in like little groups?
Yeah.
And then they have to like, I don't know, kill a chicken or something. I don't know how it works over
there. Make a pentagram, do a little dance.
Voting by clicks.
Yeah.
I mean, and as always, you should be able to vote more than once, in my opinion. But yeah, getting back to Supercomputer with the Super X, they got it on the train. They're trying to figure out how to get out. This is after... Man, there's so many wild things that happen in this episode. Dormast locks the Red Ranger in his toy box.
He locks three of them.
At least three
or four?
Three or four. Yeah, he locks... Yeah, I think he likes four because one of them's just missing.
Typically. Yes. It's everybody but...
Blue Ranger.
Yes.
Blue Ranger, right.
And then it's a funny thing where there's another reveal, but I don't think I've seen this before.
No, they never showed this. I know you...
Yeah. Red Ranger has a whip as a weapon. He can turn it into a drill. And I don't know, I'm going by anime logic, but if you have the choice between a whip or a drill, you gotta go drill all the time.
Yeah, because he does whip, and then he does staff.
Yeah, because he punctures.
We've seen staff before, though, because I thought that was sick when he did that.
Yeah,
I was like, hell yeah, he's got another. And then drill. Yeah, that's new. It's like, what? You've had this the whole time, dude? Like,
he's got spiral powers. He's from Gurren Lagann. It's going pretty good. It's my favorite thing is they get all of the Rangers out except the Red Ranger, and then the box gets knocked over, and they do this whole thing of, like, counting down before it explodes, like, oh, I can't get out of here. And then they show the drill, and it's like, I love the suspense of disbelief of, like, I wonder how many people they thought, like, the kids watching him were like, oh, he's dead.
He's gone, dude.
He's fucking toasted.
Because he's like, leave me.
Yeah.
Save yourselves.
They're like, all right, you know, like.
Yeah, we gotta carry on. It would be really funny if it was, like, such a ballsy show that that was how he died. And then just from now on, it's four Rangers.
That would be sick.
Yeah. I mean, once again, he would have been on a very high note after how last episode was just so fun for Kaijo.
He did peak in episode 30.
Yeah, just he was having fun, man.
Go out on top.
But yeah, they get the supercomputer on the train. They're trying to get it out. They basically get like a communication device where the computer starts to malfunction, so it's speaking in riddles. It's very confusing. This whole part felt like kind of like a dream sequence from a new age cinema of France. And, 70s and
80s. It overheats, and unlike normal computers, it just gets psychotic instead of just turning off.
Just making riddles about temperature and thermometers.
Yeah.
A lot's happening right now.
It does accurately state that humans are stupid when it doesn't immediately solve his dumbass riddle.
That's so hard. Like, heat it up some more.
This is a good computer. It figured it out.
The Rangers get there in time, and there's basically like a show-off between Red Ranger and then Dormask. He falls in trying to get the computer out after it gets busted. And then they basically capture Red Ranger, and now we get to a very insane scene that I think we're going to spend some time talking about.
Yo.
Yeah, they like... It almost becomes a Nuremberg Trials against the Go Rangers. Because he like lists all the things they murder, and I was like, my god, these people have tons of blood on their hands.
Yeah, they're not innocent by far.
You're like, oh man... Who am I rooting for, you know?
Who's become the true monster? I like that they make it seem like it is a fair trial that's held often, so there's also other soldiers that have failed their duties that are on the train tracks with them.
Yeah.
Which was so great. I just... There's a lot that's about to happen. So after they have their Nuremberg trials,
so wild.
It instantly turns into the trolley equation, which I think is really funny.
Yeah.
Of like, they have the train slowly going... And there's a bunch of soldiers, and then Red Ranger, and then it's like, what's more ethical from them two?
Yeah, it's definitely going to hit all five soldiers if you don't pull the lever. But if you pull the lever, the Red Ranger dies. Yeah. Like, what's the moral thing to do here?
And once again, the show is just so... goes for it full hog every time. They just run over those soldiers right
away.
Immediately, like, you see one die, and I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Oh, that's a thing, too. They just murder people in this show, like, relentlessly. I mean, machine gun fire, poison gas, you know. We saw someone get stabbed through a bush in the last episode.
Violently dying, like a stab to the back, which looks nasty.
Or that one where it was turning him into sand.
Oh, know? That's right. You're like, what the... But, like, they showed it horrifically, where it's like, you get to see, like, a little bit of the skeleton first.
It's messed up.
Yeah. I think by the 90s, that's why they figured out in, like, the Power Rangers becoming a hit. It's like, we're going to make the bad guys just, like, putty golems, because you can do anything to those fuckers and it's not weird.
They're not
this
people.
Is like, this is like actual humans getting ran over by trains.
Well, and the Black Rods, they killed, like, civilians. They're just, like, mowing them down. You're like, oh my god.
They're going for it. So, yeah, I've been looking forward to talking about this since we got this. The Dormass gets Red Ranger up because he requests a mind pull before he's gonna be murdered, which, you know, he's trying to buy time. And then he's like, I heard you really like magic tricks. And the Doranger's like, okay, you've piqued my interest. I think this is probably the most insane scene we've seen in Go Ranger so far. And there's been a lot of insane stuff. He starts pulling scarves out of his mask, but it's superimposed, so it's an endless supply that he's pulling out of his mouth over and over again, and then it entwines him.
And it starts wrapping around him and turns into rope as well from like handkerchiefs.
Insane.
And this is, they've never established that he can do this, and none of the other Rangers are like, oh, I didn't realize we're working with a genie.
Yeah.
I'm still thinking about it, and there should have been at least some break of like, did you do that?
What, like, did he just have, does he just eat a bunch of scarves every day?
And the Red Ranger's face while doing this, harrowing. It's like truly scary.
I just love the idea of him eating a bunch of scarves every day, and he's like, one day, this is totally gonna pay off.
Every morning, he's just having his bran flakes with a bowl of scarves. Just a cup of Joe.
He's like, oh, God.
And once again,
this down.
This has been such, like, this character's been so milquetoast before this and so boring, and all of a sudden he's got so much flavor to him all of a sudden.
Man.
It's just, I don't know. It's like when in the 90s films when the hot girl takes her glasses off and you see that she's a hot girl. That's what Ranger just turned into after he pulled all the scarves out of his mouth.
Yo.
Man. Oh, okay. I'm so glad. It was such a beautiful scene. Oh, we got Abigail the cat down here. Come here, Abigail. We gotta take a break.
Kitty break.
It's a great cat. He gets entangled. Temujin Iron Mask shows up to kind of give a little assistance in hand with everything. They have to transport the broken computer parts. They have the main brain of the computer, which they put in Dormask, and they explain that his Dormask can keep it cool because you need to.
He's also a refrigerator, apparently.
And it's really scary that it opens and it's nothing inside the mask. Void. Yeah.
So I guess he's also like a genie / demon of some sort, too.
Some sort of portal to a void dimension.
They have another kind of like big fight this episode, but as they're fighting, Dormass gets knocked over, and they say that the supercomputer like bonds with him. I thought it was going to be like their supercomputer friend's going to like help them.
Yeah, I thought it was going to help them.
Yeah. But no, it instantly like powers them up, they say, by tenfold. So like they're fighting the new computerized Dormass. But
he's whooping ass.
Yeah, he's beating the hell out of him.
And it's going pretty good, but they still eventually the tides turn, and they do like, I want to say this is like their new super move, basically, of like, okay, he's a supercomputer, we can't kill him with one ball, we have to kill this guy with two balls.
Double soccer balls. This
is two balls. I thought, I was like, is this the 29 or 30 that has a double balls? But yeah.
And I had to pull this up because I like that the Wikipedia has like an individual entry for each episode, and they've started listing errors and goofs on each of the episode. And I didn't notice this until I was reading this, and it really brought me a lot of joy. And specifically with this error they have listed is that during the Go Ranger Storm new power operation attack, Aka Ranger, the Red Ranger, visibly misses one of the balls when it's his turn to kick.
Yes, I thought that was very funny.
It's so funny that this is like their big new move, and like they powered up, and it is pretty badass, and I'm watching it, and then they show him, and he like misses one of the balls. Like, they couldn't have reshot that. I know that.
Like, we're good. We have 17 more episodes to shoot tonight. Yeah. So.
I mean, if you look at the fighting, the Momo Ranger, the Pink Ranger, she like tries. Like, she actually
she's the
tries
only
to
good
punch people.
Fighter,
Everyone else looks awful fighting. Yeah.
But yeah, the two-ball gambit works really well because he gets exploded and goes to hell.
So sick, the two ball shot.
Yeah,
I was really loving that.
I feel like watching this and knowing like eventually Akira Toriyama is gonna make Dragon Ball and Dragon Ball Z. He's probably like watching these like slightly weird superpowers, but I'm gonna do some of that one of these days.
He definitely. So okay, there's one thing I was like, Dragon Ball Z had to have taken this from this show or shows like this, where they're in a scene and then suddenly when they have to fight, it becomes that field where they all fight. Oh, at. Yes, and I was like, oh, magically now they're in a place where no one's here.
I like exactly. The evolution of tropes in different media, and I like in like Japanese media for like tokusatsu and Dragon Ball Z in anime, that it's just, I love that if they need to fight someone, they're there instantly. I like that in American shows, we probably do a build up to it. Like, we don't need to do any of that. If you throw a punch, you're going to be in a field instantly.
Yeah.
Like, it's beautiful. Yeah, another great episode. I feel like we got to get to 30 now, but I'm going to be thinking about the scarf scene for a while.
That's
yeah,
like that a top hilarious. Three moments in the show so far. It was. If you would have given me all the time in existence and been like, guess what the Red Ranger can do, I would have never guessed. Like,
I feel like you might have gotten close a little bit. Like, he can pull like a key out of his mouth.
Yeah,
or a scarf,
or his tongue's a drill. I don't know. You know, they.
And these are all like kind of crazy sounding, but still not as crazy. He pulls a scarf out that turns into a rope and entangles it into me. It's episode 30. We're gonna go to titled "Golden Columns of Fire," a great explosion of consecutive minds. We're going to be spending a lot of time, I think, talking about Mind Mask on this one.
What a glorious villain. Yeah. That one, what a genius, beautiful idea of just being like, hey, the guy has minds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I've seen like, you know, we know of suicide bombers, but a suicidal bomber is the new.
Wildly suicidal. Yeah. That was exactly my takeaway from this guy.
He was built to die instantly, and he was so excited for when he could get there, but like, the design is great because he is literally is just like a mine from like World War II era on a giant robot man. And I like to imagine like there's just like some guy from Brooklyn that was there pitching ideas like, yeah, he got a mine on his head. He fucking explodes. He just wants to get mines everywhere.
All right, give me my check, you know.
Yeah. It's so simple but so beautiful.
Hey, can't you see I'm pitching here?
Yeah, I'm pitching it.
It's a great idea. You're going to use it. And, like, they don't want to admit it, but they all, by the end of that writing room session, they went with Mind Mask. Once again, they have the powwow where he meets up with the Fuhrer, and he's like, here's my idea. I'm going to lay out 3,000 mines throughout Japan. And he's like, great, that sounds good.
He's like, hell yeah, dude.
Yeah. It is like kindergarten planning of, like, if you ask kindergarten, how would you destroy it? They'd be like, I would put 3,000 mines everywhere and explode them all at once. And I'm like, oh, yeah, okay, that's a good plan. That works.
And he's very insistent about them exploding all at once.
Yeah.
And that's a very important factor for this guy.
Not just leaving them so that people would accidentally step on them. He's like, no, we have to blow them up. Like, yeah. It doesn't count if somebody just steps on it or whatever.
And there's a lot of very funny scenes in the episode that are all mine-related humor. Is the only way I can put it. First off, they have Daida and they have Shinmei flying around to figure out where all the mines are. And it's a very funny scene of you have Daida doing the work of writing down, like, there's one mine. Oh, there's another mine. And there's, like, too many mines!
3,000, you know?
And I like that, once again, the character actor for Daida is so funny and so charming. Where he's, like, literally doing, like, Three Stooges, like, going cross-eyed, like, so many mines!
Yeah.
Putting the notepad on top of his head, and Shinmai's, like, trying to give him, like, the poke in the eyes and everything. They're flying around doing that. At the same time, you have, once again, Kenjir, Mida Ranger, and Momo Ranger going around trying to figure out more of the mine locations and to defuse them. I love that they have like a bunch of the Eagle, who are like the good guy factions, digging up the mines, and they're like trying to figure out what to do, but they're like standing on top of the mine.
That's what I'm saying. Like, look, I don't think they know what mines are.
Yeah. A wild, like, alternative universe in Japan of they made the series and it's 1995 where everything's the same except this is the year they invented mines. So, like, Mind Mask is, like, blowing their fucking heads, right off their shoulders. The whole episode, too, I like that Mind Mask keeps referring and iterating, I can't wait to die and explode all these mines at the same time.
Yeah, because the trigger's in his head.
Yeah.
He's like, when I die, all the bombs blow up.
Yeah, see, when they first introduce him, he's like, I'm going to bomb all these off, and then I'm going to take them to hell with me. And I was like, that sounds a little suicidal.
And I like that.
Are you okay, Mind Mask?
And then, like, Fuhrer picked up on it, but he liked where he's like, oh, dying for their cause, that's really cool.
That's sick, dude.
Yeah. You know, once
Fuhrer
again,
likey. Yeah.
Great work all around, team. Let's go get some pot bellies. You know, just like, he's kind of charming in his own way for, once again, how much he supports his minions and their ideas.
Yeah, I feel like he was much more stoic earlier on in the series. I feel like he's getting more, like, with a childlike glee, he enjoys every bad guy's plan.
I'm gonna deposit something, and this is, you might have to go back to listen to previous episodes or watch the show, but before Steel Iron Mask was taken over, or Temujin Iron Mask, and once again, I found Temujin means Genghis Khan in Japanese, which is really fun. So Genghis Khan Iron Mask is like the new henchman, basically for like a good portion of the show. Before that, there was like a second command named Sun Halo Mask. Mm-hmm. And here's my theory: I think he was bringing bad vibes to the operation.
Yeah.
I think the Fuhrer was kind of on edge. That's why he was like more like, if you don't do it this time, I'm gonna kill you.
Yeah, like he needs a reason to fire him. He's like, I don't want to pay unemployment, so I need this guy to just like blow it.
He's like,
Sun Halo Mask got his ass just fucking exploded, of course. But now I feel like Temujin Iron Mask has like a good, more positive energy he's brought to the operation. He's working well with the Fuhrer, and now they're having fun. I think that's important. Anyways, getting back to this, they're trying to get mines. We have this comical thing of them like digging up mines and then trying to defuse them. Peggy's having some issues with it, but she's like, we're going to figure this out. And then they have like one scene where they're planning a bunch of other mines. They find a little mine, and they're like, what should we do with it? Ah, throw it in the river! And I don't know why they filmed this, but it's so funny. Is you have Taro on a boat with one of, I think, was it Agent 8 or Agent 7?
Yeah.
There's basically, like, two other women that are, like, secret agents that work with the Go Rangers. And they're, like, having a fun time on, like, a river in Japan, boating away. And one of the little mine comes towards them, and she, like, starts flicking water at it, like,
go away, mine.
And then I think they're, like, in a river, but she gets up, and it's standing
water. That's what I thought. I was like, oh, they're in a deep river. She, like, can't get out. And she gets up, and it literally doesn't even come to her knee.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's literally, like, ankle height. And I was like, well, why didn't you just leave the boat? Like, this is never a problem.
Yeah. And then the mine's, like, following her, where it, like, is trying to get her ass. And then she gets out of the... basically the little small river she can walk in. They do a very bad cut where it looks like a huge river all of a sudden, where it explodes off, and she's like perfectly safe. But like, if you had sped up that scene and put Benny Hill music over it, it would have been comedy gold.
It's like the inverse of that old Batman scene where he's like, some days you can't get rid of a bomb. Yeah. That's a mine that chases you instead.
Oh man, this is going to be a giveaway for my recommendation at the end of the episode, but I started listening to Newcomers, which is the Nicole Byer and Lauren Lapkus show.
Oh, fun.
And they started doing Batman, and the first one they do is Batman 1966. And then I found out Barb's never seen it, so we have to watch that, because I'm like, if you haven't seen Batman 1966, the movie,
you haven't lived.
It's
beautiful.
It establishes the thought that if we could fix all the problems of the world, if we turn all of our world leaders into dust and kind of mix them together a little bit.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful. anyways, back to this insane episode. So, like, that whole hijink, too, of the Mayan has nothing to do with the whole episode, which I love, too, where they just basically... I mean, the only thing is that, like, they're like, okay, we gotta get rid of these mines, guys.
These are starting to be a problem for our infrastructure.
Yeah. You know, it's the usual thing. Once it starts affecting the white upper middle class... Yeah.
Like, how am I supposed to canoe, you know?
Not in my backyard. Yeah. No, not in my backyard. There we go.
Well, there's the title of the episode. I'm gonna write that. Not in my backyard. Thank you for that. It's so great because they get to the point where they get into the square off with Mind Mask, and like a fucking dumbass, he announces, if you kill me, the mines are gonna go off. And now it turns into like a comedy of errors at this point. So they strap him up in a bunch of chains, and they're like, well, we can't kill him. And before he pulls a gun on himself, I need you to talk about it, Jonathan, because you just sent me in the group chat about how excited you were about this.
Yeah, so he has a weapon that is a mine on a flail, which is beautiful. It's a great
smoke.
Idea. It's a really weird weapon.
Like a fucking Catholic church priest.
And he calls it his hammer mine.
Yeah. But, like, I just love that you enjoyed so much the fact that he's like, okay, well, if they're not going to kill me, I'm just going to pull a real, like, gun and shoot myself in the head.
Yeah, he throws the mind flail at them, and then he accidentally wraps himself around with the flail. And then they're like, oh, we got you now. And he's like, oh. And then he pulls a gun like a little cartoon character. He pulls a gun to his head, and he's like, don't make me do this.
Like, Chuck Jones level Looney Tunes comedy happening, and I loved it so much.
Because initially it's like a little, I mean, maybe I'm just reading too into this. It was a little sexual, where like they kind of have him surrounded and he's like, what are you going to do to me? You know, like, go ahead, do your worst, you know? And they're like, ew.
Here's what's going to happen. You're going to make me come and then I'm going to kill you all with my bombs. Temujin Iron Mask shows up again, and I feel like he's almost confused, too, which I love. Like,
he's like, are we winning?
He has all these soldiers, and he's like, watch, he's like, well, fucking explode them. Shoot some bazookas at them. As this is going on, too, they get basically Momo Ranger to, like, okay, there's a thing in his head, you have to defuse to get out. And he's, like, bragging, like, you're not going to be able to do it. And, like, as they're going, Temujin Mask has their team firing rockets, and, like, rocks are raining down on Peggy, but She's steadfast.
She's a soldier.
She's a straight-up soldier. She's ride or die for the Rangers. She gets the bomb out, and then it just turns into him like realizing, like, oh, fuck, you can kill me now, and it's not going to do anything. This sucks.
And something during all this that happens, the Blue Ranger shoots an arrow in his head, and nothing happens, yeah. Right? And because I was like, oh, that's how he defuses the thing. But it just...
That's what I thought,
he
too.
Just did it.
Like, he's like, I'll put him to sleep. Yeah. And it's like, you just killed him. Yeah. Like,
Blue Ranger just showed up, and it's not even a plan. He's just like, I hate this guy. Which, once again, all the Rangers are very charming in their own way, and I love that Blue Ranger, as we talked many times, is also very neurodivergent-coded. Yeah. There's only one way we could say it, where, like, he's definitely on the spectrum, because they had one episode where he's like, I don't like hanging out with people, I just like tuning up the Varabloon.
That's, yeah.
The plane's his best friend, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we love him. He's our little champion, going yippee.
There was also a very funny shot where Mind Mask was like, chained to the post, and then you just see all these soldiers, and there's like 7 rocket launchers.
Like, and I like that they had the look of like they got it at surplus, but also they're so excited to finally use them. like one of those soldiers just like, fuck yeah, finally.
Oh man.
Yeah. So yeah, they get the whole trigger out of them where they can kill them, and then once again they murk them so hard after they realize that. I think they were upset that they got involved in a psychosexual plot.
Yeah, I feel so dirty. Yeah. You know, like, and then that was weird too, where as they're doing the shot, he's digging a hole into the ground. I'm like, what was that?
And once again, I just feel like they just went full fucking Looney Tunes this episode.
It was weird, man.
Yeah.
The poor man had psychosis, and yeah. they just murdered him.
And then, like, his whole dream was to, like, get killed gloriously in battle, and then when it actually came time, he's like, no, I don't want that. And they did it to him, and it's like, this feels weird now. I mean, they'll be back in the Nuremberg trials for their crimes eventually, so.
Put them on the tracks.
Yeah, it's, God, what a great show. I feel like we're just gonna go into our reviews. We do it by 5 Rangers, so you have to say out of 5 Rangers how much you like it. If you cut any of them off, then you have to be like, okay, I'm taking these 4 Rangers, get rid of it. I'm going to be honest with you, it's going to be a full 5 Rangers for me again. I don't got to do any of that shit. This fucking rules. I don't even want to be, like, artistic. I don't want to be, like, a critic about this. I'm just watching it. I'm hooting and hollering the whole time. I'm just watching Mind Mask fucking go Bugs Bunny on their ass. I'm just like fucking keep pouring this dirt into my eyes every week. I love this so much.
I would say 5 Rangers. It ruled. Holy shit. Yeah. I had fun the whole time. Mm-hmm. Like every moment there was some insane thing happening.
Yeah, it's. I got to turn more people onto this, but like, we've almost all of the episodes when we get to this, it's almost always been 4 or 5 across the board. I don't think we've even like dipped down to 3 other than maybe once.
Yeah, there might have been a 3 somewhere, like a kind of a weaker set of the episodes.
Yeah.
But even me, 5 hands down.
Yeah.
Each episode was amazing in its own weird way. They're beefing up the production. They're playing with the format more. I really love it. And just pure insanity.
It is.
that scarf thing, whenever like I close my eyes, I feel like on the back of my eyelids is just him and scarves just endlessly coming out of his mouth.
The thing is, his mouth is open so wide that you can see where the scarves are coming out. They superimpose the scarves, but they have it where the scarves are coming out, it's kind of almost translucent.
Yeah.
So it looks like he's a black hole of scarves as well, just pulling them out for all eternity.
One of my favorite movies, like seriously, like top 10 movies, is House
Movie.
And it's that same type of effect of the superimposed as, like, some of the stuff you see in that movie.
Yeah.
And it's always just so fun to watch.
I gotta look at when Hasu came out now. I gotta make some connections in my brain right now.
Well, and also, Mind Mask threatening to off himself was top-tier entertainment. It was so amazing. You're like, what? Where did he get that? You're like, he's just been holding the strap.
Been a piece on him. He's just ready to kill himself.
And he could have shot any of them at any time, but he's like, nah, man. Like, no, I only got one bullet in this thing.
I got to see what year. It was 1977. So if anything, maybe Hausu took inspiration from this.
This is lined. Yeah, it's lined up pretty.
That's pretty close. Yeah, because you said 75, right? It was around the time this was.
And I feel like in closing, before we get to like the usual like recommendations and plugs and all of that, and then our stupid game section, we've talked about this every episode where we're worried it's going to drop off. Because here's the thing, this is, I think it's 82 episodes, it's either 82 or 85 run for this first series.
Wow.
And we're like, okay, it's going to peter out. But we're at 30 fucking episodes, and it's been a roller coaster ride the entire time. This might honestly go to episode 82 or 85, and we're just like...
Yeah, this
Citizen Kane. Like,
this second act, we're starting out 2024 with a bang, y'all.
Yeah.
This second act of the series, they're just like, let's freaking go. I'm on board. I'm ready to watch 30 more.
Like, no joke, I'm probably gonna watch more of this outside. I'm definitely gonna just keep watching it.
My favorite gift and joy to all of our guests that we've had for the Super Sentai Side Project is I tell them to watch episode 1 if they get the chance, or if you go back and watch it. It makes less sense if you watch episode 1 for everything going on.
You're left with more. It gives you more questions than answers.
Yeah, okay.
One
thing we cover all the time is that they have like a scientist briefly in the episode. It's like, yeah, I designed their belts and powers. And that's it. He says that and he's off scene after that. Like, you never get an explanation of why they do what they do.
And it's real subtle. Like, they just slip it in there. Because initially, you'll miss it. And you'll be like, where did they get the costumes? Who are they? Like, they just automatically just start morphing.
No talking about why they chose those people or anything.
No,
they just...
no, it's beautiful.
Not at all.
It's almost like they're like elements of the universe that have just always existed, and they're there to function for our entertainment. So, a real Joseph Campbell, if you will, a hero's journey. I'm gonna get into the stupid games section. Quit
playing stupid games.
I have a really fun one today, which is when I was researching the show. The Blue Ranger, Shinmei, he's played by a somewhat famous Japanese actor. I didn't realize this, too, because this motherfucker is like a king of tokusatsu, is the only way I could put this. I'm pulling up the IMDb for this right now. Give me a second here. But he's played some major big roles over the years, which is pretty cool. And I want to give you this. Was he... either in... okay, I'm going to give you three options. Take it seriously. We know he's in Super Sentai, but was he also in A, a Kamen Rider show, B, an Ultraman a show, or C, Zubat the Legend, which is another one that's kind of slightly famous from this time.
I'm going to guess Ultraman.
Okay, you're going to guess an Ultraman?
I'm going to say Kamen Rider.
You're going to say Kamen Rider? I'm not going to guess. There's actually two correct options. That's how much this motherfucker's done. He was the original Zubat, which is a very silly tokusatsu, but he was also in Kamen Rider. He was the main star of V3, or Kamen Rider V, which V3, which is the second Kamen Rider show.
So he was the lead?
He was the lead.
Oh, wow.
So wait, was he doing... when was that?
That would have been 1972, I think, or 1973.
So this predates this by quite a bit.
Yeah, so he was actually a Kamen Rider first, the main actor for it, and then he comes back for this as one of the Blue Rangers. And the funny thing is, like, you know how he has the whole cowboy outfit, is Zubat, which I was mentioning, it's a very similar thing where he has a cowboy outfit in that. I think this motherfucker just loves being a cowboy. Which, good for him. He's had so many, like, tokusatsu roles over the years, which is kind of really fun to see. He was also in the Marvel Comics Spider-Man 2. Sorry, this isn't part of the game show. I was just reading the thing that... his whole Wikipedia page is insane. But he did reprise a role again as another Ranger in a future series. So I wanted to give you the whole list. Was he either in Gokaiger, Gosager, Super Sentai, Choriki Sentai, O-Ranger, or was he in Jack Q? I'll repeat those again because the names are funny.
Yes.
Okay. So first option is Gokaiger, Gosager, Super Sentai. That's more of a modern one, so this one takes place all the way, I think, in 2009, 2010.
Cool.
Jack Q, that one takes place right after this one. And then the third option I gave, which was Choriki Sentai O-Ranger, is what eventually was Power Ranger Neo. So that's the one from like 1994, 95, I want to say.
Okay.
I'm going to say the Power Ranger Neo one.
You're going to say that one?
I'm going to say the new one. The Jack Q.
The Jack Q. Oh, Jack Q's the one that came right after the
90s. Oh, the one. So the first one.
Gokaiger.
Yeah.
He was in all of these guys.
What?
I tricked you. He's fucking in that. I could not get over how much he's been in when I was looking at his whole thing.
He's like, what's his name? Was it Jason David Frank, who was like he stays in the American like Power Rangers for, I think, up until he passed almost.
Yeah, that's like a great comparison. And yeah, he's the actor's name for this too, for the Blue Ranger that's been all these things, is Hiroshi Mayuichi. He's still kicking around. He's born 1947. He's getting up there too, so.
Oof.
And Jack Q, which was the show that came right after this, was the first one where they introduced like a White Ranger, where another like Ranger comes halfway through the show, and his name was Big One. He played that character.
That's sick.
And I think I've shown Big One on the show before, where it's like one of the just like fucking most ballin' outfits.
Does he have like the rainbow?
He has the rainbow.
Oh, yeah, that guy's sick.
I gotta show you this one.
I gotta see this. I the name alone is just badass.
Yeah, it's his weapon is just a giant club too, which I love. Of like, once again, just give this motherfucker something really wild you would not expect. Yeah, look at that. Beautiful.
It's such a cool costume. I love
that. That is a great costume.
It's a really good costume. Yeah, it's you know what? I just love finding out all these like little links they have together and all that. And yeah, the O-Rangers he was in, he was playing like the commander that was like giving all the missions that episode. So you know what? I love to see that he's still working and having fun out there. I hope he lives another 3,000 years. He's also a vampire, I've decided.
He's a Time Lord, yes.
So that's a game where everybody wins. I just want to get those fun facts out there. But yeah, we can get to recommendations and plugs to wrap it up a little bit. As I was saying earlier, too, I was going to recommend Newcomers, which is the podcast of Lauren Lapkus and Nicole Byer. The whole concept of the podcast is they go through things they've never watched that every male in their life's been telling them to watch for years. So Star Wars, Batman, all of the MCU movies. I think the thing is that they're super funny together, but they're still like, yeah, I'm kind of glad that like we finally watched it just to find out they're all right. They're mediocre at best.
Yeah.
Like, I love like they're going on this journey, but they're like, yeah, we didn't need to watch it. They just started doing Batman, and it's been both really funny, but also reminding me how much I love like the early 90 Batman films, because they just did Batman Returns, and man, I love that film.
Batman Returns is... love it.
Yeah, I'm glad that they liked it a lot.
My sexist ass thought you meant they said they're all right, like all men were right about everything.
Yeah, really right. We should have listened.
Yeah. I'm tired.
Just
of
sat
this...
our ass down and listened when men talked.
Yeah, I'm tired of this male erasure that's definitely happening, not a made up thing. My other recommendation too, I feel like I want to do a good tokusatsu one, is that I just found out all of Garo is on YouTube for the actual channel that's run. That's the one tokusatsu show that was started by Kieta Animaya. He's the guy that we did the one episode as a ram with.
That was weird as shit, too.
Yeah, he's just this really crazy director and artist and designer. And it's like basically a modern-day dark fantasy tokusatsu that's made for adults. So you'll see a boob or two in there.
Cool.
It's pretty cool. And like the main character, Garo, is like this giant like gold-plated metal armor that kills demons.
Cool.
That also has like a giant wolf mask. So it's, yeah, it's pretty... It's cool as it sounds.
This is amazingly cool sounding. Yeah.
But they're part of that trend that I really enjoy seeing nowadays of like Super Aria Productions, who does Ultraman, does the same thing where they just put all of their shows on YouTube and they put American captions. English captions.
No, you're right.
Yeah. You know what? Yeah, it's American captions.
It's ours now.
But they just put on English subtitles so that they can watch it the day of release. And now, like, Ultraman is, like, has a very slowly rising but big fandom now in America because, like, anybody can access it. It's like, they did the same thing with Garo. It's like, yeah, people want to watch it, just fucking go nuts.
Yeah.
So it's got English subtitles on their channel, and you can watch all the episodes, which is pretty fun.
Cool, cool, cool.
If you liked our episodes about Zaram or Kamen Rider Zo that we did for Podzuki, check it out. So
I have two recommendations too. Show called Scavenger's Reign.
Oh, it's fucking so good.
On HBO. Yeah. Or Max, sorry.
Yeah.
Animated show, yeah. What, 12 episodes? And it's a sci-fi story about a ship in orbit of this unexplored planet. And they have to emergency land. Some of the crew has to emergency land on this alien planet. And it's just, it's so beautiful. It's pretty terrifying.
Yeah.
And it's just this weird, they land on this hostile planet, and it's sci-fi that truly, like, all the creatures and all, like, the planet, it truly feels alien.
Yeah.
And I think it's amazing how whoever created this show, like, conceptualized the art style and the design of the creature. It's so good.
Yeah, it reminds me a lot of, like, the Mobius art designs for, like, sci-fi and illustrations of, like, yeah, how they design the planet and the animals.
Yeah.
But I have to finish the show. I'm 5-6 episodes in, and I've really loved it. But I like that it's the planet's both deadly, but it's also super mysterious. So, like, it's almost frightening because you never know how anything is going to work, where it could actually either help people,
yeah,
or it's just going to terribly maim them and horrifyingly kill off yeah, citizens.
And it's not malicious, which is, it's just nature on yeah, this planet. It's, nothing's like trying to get them. It's just how the planet operates. It's so yeah, good.
Hmm.
And then another animated show that I just finished and also loved almost as much. You can't watch it legally in the United States. It's
SpongeBob.
It's called SpongeBob Hair Pants. It's called Pantheon. And there's two seasons. I guess it was originally on Amazon or AMC or something like that, and Amazon had it, but I guess there was some copyright issue. But the premise of the show is this girl, her dad worked for this company, which is very much like an Apple-type company, like Steve Jobs-esque Rand-type company, and they're working on UI, which is uploaded intelligence, which is where you would... they basically map your brain and put it in digital space. The problem is, to do that, they have to destroy your brain. So, I mean, it's kind of Matrix-y, but way different enough and much more philosophical in a way of, like, what does it mean to be alive? Like, if you were to upload your mind onto, is that you? Or is that just a copy of you? Right. Like, it's a beautifully made show, and it doesn't heavy-handedly, like, beat you over the head with the questions it's asking or the kind of themes of it, and it's I can't recommend it enough.
That sounds really dope. I gotta watch that now. I also like that it continues the trend of, like, Amazon and, like, Apple Plus TV having shows that are directly making fun of or satiring, like, the people that run it and the heads in charge of it.
Oh, yeah.
Because I think of, like, Severance on Apple TV.
Oh, man.
Severance goes hard.
Yeah. Best show I've watched in maybe in a decade.
Or the fact that, like, Boots Riley has his whole I'm a Virgo on Amazon Prime, which is something, you know, that he hates Amazon. But it's like, okay, I'm going to put it on there. And, like, the show is directly critiquing late-stage capitalism, which I think... I love seeing that. You know, if you're going to... If these are the long powers we got, you know... Fucking make fun of them the whole time.
Yeah, get them from the inside, you know.
The show I'm recommending is nothing like any of the other shows. it's on Max. It is called The Comeback. It's Lisa Kudrow.
Oh, yeah.
So it's season one filmed in 2005, and then season two filmed in 2014.
Really?
So the premise is she's playing this character called Valerie Cherish, who was on a hit sitcom called I'm It. And right afterwards, she's trying to still be a successful star, and she's doing her own reality show called The Comeback. But but she can't understand the difference between reality and TV, so she does these very, like, Larry David-esque, like, awkward scenes. And at first, it does feel a bit like a Curb ripoff, like, it feels very similar to Curb, but every episode really builds off the last one to, like... There's one scene near the end where she punches a dude,
oh, really?
And he vomits, then she vomits, and it's like the funniest thing I've ever seen. I could watch just that scene over and over again. So yeah, I highly recommend that show. And I'm going to plug something, actually.
Yeah, plugs.
I haven't told either of you this, actually. I very recently joined a band.
Whoa!
Hey. Yeah. I'm going to be doing a show next week, actually, in Urbana.
Whoa!
And then it's going to be, like, almost shows every other week for the next couple months.
Rules.
So, yes.
The name of the band is Passion Cat.
That's a fucking fantastic name.
Great band.
Yeah, I'll start posting stuff. But yeah, I practiced with them like 4 times. We already got like a ton of shows lined up. It's crazy. But
hell,
it's
amazing. Yeah.
It's great to hear. You've been drumming since I've known you, so it's great to hear too.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what Podzuki keeps doing. Like, Luke's in a band too. I'm creating all the connectives. I'm taking all the credit too for this. So
good. You deserve it. Thank you.
I'm very brave. I'm very great.
And I want 5%.
Yeah. It's that thing of, like, today on the train coming home on the Brown Line, I gave up my seat to a pregnant woman, and when she got off, she said thank you to me, and I needed to get that recorded because I'm a great person. I'm going to heaven. So I feel like I did. I do want to say that as actually something I did today, but I feel like every time I say that jokingly, I go closer back to just shooting straight to hell when I die.
You're gonna spin like the bad guys, and
it's like you gloated a little bit too much about that. And if you just kept to yourself, that'd have been the right thing to do.
They're gonna tie you to the tracks and make you answer for your crimes.
God, what a great show!
I might watch this again when I get home. It was
watching it. I think high or very high, I should say, would be either life affirming or one of the most harrowing experiences I've ever had.
I watched it not high too, and I usually watch this very high. So the fact that I was stone sober and I was just in awe is, I might quit doing drugs, you guys.
I'm just doing microdoses of Himitsu Sentai Go Ranger now.
Buy a VR helmet and just have that.
Tripping out.
But it's so intense you end up like in a mental hospital afterwards. Well, as always, I think we'll try to end in our usual saying, but you know what? When life gets hard, give them the soccer ball. I say it's beautiful.
Yeah,
give him a soccer ball.
One, two, three, go, no. Rangers.
Oh, go. It's go, built go. In there. I should have said right.
We regret that you have not yet complied with our order.
This show has been brought to you by Machine Culture.
The words get stuck in my throat.